Please note that there is feedback only for the first couple of minutes in this teaching.
Let's open our Bibles to Luke 24 and verse 45. Some of the last words that Christ spoke before he ascended up into heaven. Are you guys getting feedback or is it just me? Can you guys hear me clearly? Are you getting a lot of feedback?
No, it's very clear.
Okay, perfect. I'll ignore the feedback. Okay. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and he said unto them, that thus it's written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And that was Christ, some of his last instructions to his followers, sending them to Jerusalem, telling them to wait on God, and that they were going to be endued. And that word endued is clothes. They were going to be given new clothes to pull on, you know, a new appearance. The Spirit of the Lord. And that would be the start, as we know, because we were lucky enough or called enough to be blessed to be called to this ministry. That was going to be the time that they would receive Holy Spirit and a brand new administration would begin. They were special people, and we are special people. Let's flip to James. We're special because of where we landed in the world, that we happened to be called to learn the rightly divided word through the ministry. James 1, verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That's us. We're a little bit weird. We're a little bit different. We're first fruits. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man looking at his natural face in the mirror. He looks at himself and then he goes away and forgets what manner of man he was. Don't do that. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. That engrafted word is the implanted word. That's implanted into our hearts and to our souls, into our minds, into our every thought. And the action steps in verse 25, whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, continues and does, that man's going to be blessed in his deeds. We can't sit in our parents' basement not reading the word, not continuing in what we already know, even if we only know two or three verses, just ignoring them, and expect that we're going to come out and not do anything about it and expect that we're going to be blessed. We have to look into the word, we have to continue in the word, we have to do the word, and then we're going to be blessed in our daily lives and activities. Now, speaking of mirrors, let's look in 2 Corinthians 3. And this verse comes after a little bit of a ramble on about Moses and how the veil was over his face. His face, after he went up and spoke to God, when he came down, it was so full of light and brightness, he had to cover his face because people couldn't look at him. And let's look in verse 16. Nevertheless, well, verse 15, even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil's on the hearts of a lot of the Jewish people because they still haven't figured the game out through Christ. But nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now we know changed is this metamorphose, we're being transformed by what we see. But we have to have that open face. That's our job, to open up, to get the veil off our own heads, to remove whatever is in front of our eyes, and then to go to the mirror of the glory of God and look into that mirror. We could choose to not take off the veil, but we want to take off that veil. It's our job to open our face, open our thoughts to the Word of God, and then to behold that glory. So when we're looking in the mirror of the written Word of God, what do we see when we look at the glory of God in our administration? Well, we could sit here for the next few hours and rhyme off thing after thing after thing, saved, the hope, redeemed, offer all the promises that God has done for us in Christ and given to us. That's His work. We are to behold that every single day. That's us looking in the mirror, not forgetting who we are. We're remembering the glory of the Lord. And as we've already heard mentioned many times already just in this morning on this call, going to the Word of God, knowing the accuracy of the Word of God, I mean, that is how we get to know what the glory is that we're supposed to be being changed into. And as we're looking at that image, as we're putting our thoughts onto that image and changing ourselves, we will begin to change into that glory. We'll believe it more. We'll think it more. We'll act on it more. And it is the Spirit of the Lord that gives us the wherewithal, the strength, the words, the power to change ourselves. I was in my early 20s when I first got born again. And, you know, I don't know, some of your children have been raised in homes where, you know, our children, I should say, where God's word was heralded. I'm sure they were all born again from a very early age with good instructions. But some of us had decades of poorer parenting or lesser parenting that we need to recognize some of the thought patterns that may have been bred into us, fear, lack of abundance. You know, it kind of goes the range from either you're full of pomp and circumstance and think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, so you don't need God, to the other extreme where you're just such a poor little person and, you know, who would want you? And anywhere in between, the whole myriad of thoughts that run through our minds every day about our condition, our human condition, those are the thoughts we each individually need to know and to capture and to bring over to the Word and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, is this glorious? Is this glorious or not glorious? If it's not glorious, I'm getting rid of it. I'm going to metamorphose. I'm going to change it. I'm going to step forward, and the Spirit of God will direct me and help me. So God is the creator. He's not a duplicator. You know, our DNA, our fingerprints, everything about us is completely unique. We're originals as we stand before Him. That's why you never find a list, tick off these 10 things, and each person will walk perfectly with the Spirit of God. Because, you know, this is the other aspect of the walk with Christ that always rings to me when I think about us. You know, we're taught from a very young age to not make mistakes and to always put forth a face and always look like we're the best. You know, you don't want to make any mistakes. So a lot of what you see when you come interaction with people in the workplace, on the street, and so forth is a mask that they put up into society because they want you to think that they're the greatest, that they're the best, that their life is cool, everything's fine. And the only time you stop seeing past that mass is if they really crash and burn and become a disaster. And those are the people that we're trying to reach through the confusion and the shame in their lives and in their thought patterns so that they can hear, that we can find the opening and speak God's word and bring those people to salvation. So, you know, we need to think about that with ourselves as well. If we start to recover our own thoughts and think, is this glorious or not glorious? I'm going to keep looking in that mirror and I'm going to confront myself and metamorphose some of my thoughts, get rid of some of these things that are not glorious and walk in more glory. That will help us develop the humility as we go out into the world, as we come across other people, to be able to look for the open doors that God will open so that we can speak to them. Because everybody is different. You know, we've raised children, most of us on this call, what worked for child one did not work for child two. You know, child two laughed when we tried to discipline them the way we did with child one. You know, child three cried because it didn't feel good when we gave them the gift that made child one jump with joy. Everybody's unique, even with the same upbringing. So that's why we all need to stand uniquely before God and look in that mirror and say, where is the lack of glory in my life, and what could I see that's more glorious that I could put off today or this week or this year that would help me stand more in the glory of God's word? So I say embrace that uniqueness, because God has been talking to man ever since Adam. You know, he's a very chatty God. Look at the efforts, almost crazy efforts, that he went to throughout the Old Testament to get people's attention so that he could raise up some prophets and some apostles and people could hear his word. Some of the antics he had to go to keep the Jewish people moving forward so that Christ could be born. And here we are in our administration, with the ability, with spirit within, he doesn't have to do antics for us anymore. He's given us his spirit. We can tap into that spirit and have an intimate conversation with him any day, any moment of any day, because he is our Father. And that was the day that he was bringing us to. You know, that was the whole point of Christ. So Jesus prayed, you know, in the garden that, you remember, he was sort of wanting to sort of not have to go through the crucifixion, and he was praying that they will be one with you even as I am one with you. That was the whole point of Christ's coming and serving and fulfilling God's word, was so that we could be one with God the way he was. And he was having intimate conversations with God every day of his life. So, you know, I often think about, let's separate what God's done, his completeness towards us, everything he's given to us, from what our response to that is, and our becoming glorified in our minds and in our lives. Makes me think about the rich kid. We don't want to be the rich kid that's sitting in his parents' basement that just says, yeah, my dad's really rich. Yeah, my dad's got great cars. Yeah, my dad does this. My dad did that. And yeah, we go to the country club. And meanwhile, the kid doesn't even have a job. You know, he doesn't have anything to brag about, but he brags all the time because he's talking about his father. Well, we want to brag about our God. Of course we do. But we want to get out of the parents' basement. We want to take the Holy Spirit that we've been gifted, that was the raison d'etre for the life of Christ. We want to embrace our oneness with the Father. We want to get chatting with him. We want to tap into that Holy Spirit. You know, how many people, when they sit in fellowship and the manifestation's happening, does the hair stand up on your arms? Because you know, and you think, oh my gosh, that's just exactly what I needed to hear today. Well, if we've got 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit, how many of those are we activating on a daily basis in our lives? How much word of wisdom are we bringing to our own lives? How much word of knowledge? You know, how much faith, how much believing are we bringing every single day? Are we taking the time and making the time to activate our Holy Spirit? Or is it just something we do on Sunday on the call with Raj? When we're driving around, when we're in conversation, when we're listening to somebody, are we quietly speaking in tongues and asking God, what should I say to this person? You know, it's a walk. It's an exciting walk. So God is speaking to us all the time as individuals. You know, somebody today, I'm sorry, I don't remember who, and maybe it was Jane, talked about ears to hear. There's 7 times ears to hear is in the gospel, 7 times ears to hear in the epistles, 7 times ears to hear in the book of Revelation. Let's have ears to hear him intimately to help us become more and more walking in the glory of God. Now let's go to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 3. Okay. All right. Someone already talked about this today, too. Verse 16. All scripture, God breathed. That's the translation. All scripture, God breathed, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly, it's not thoroughly. I remember Dr. World ranting on about this. It's thoroughly, through and through and thoroughly furnished. And the word furnished is that word exactizo, exactly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, I've said before, and I maintain this in my own personal life, a blank piece of paper on a weekly basis. You know, what do I need? You know, what don't I have? What aren't I doing? Quietly, not me with a bunch of people, but me intimately with my Father, writing out my thoughts, trying to learn to separate the madness of my own mind and the chattiness of society and what I may or may not have heard to scrolling down into my heart and my thoughts. I want to be truly, exactly furnished, and I want to see all good works in my life every single day. So, you know, perfectly furnished. 1 John 2. And in verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Well, we don't need to worry if we're abiding and we're tapping into our Holy Spirit on a daily basis, making time to speak in tongues, bringing our decisions quietly to the Lord and saying, give me some word of wisdom here, give me some word of knowledge, you know, should I, you know, shop here, should I shop there, should I go to school here, should I go to school there. He will intimately give us the knowledge and the wisdom that we need as a manifestation of Holy Spirit. Well, then that comes down to our individual responsibility. Do you know what it sounds like to hear from God? If the answer is no, that's why I started taking a piece of paper and writing down my own thoughts so I could learn to differentiate between the thought, the mind of Brenda and the voice of the Lord. And you know when you first spoke in tongues, you know, what a tear-filled moment that was. You activated a different part of your brain. When you do speak in tongues, you have no doubt that that is spirit being activated. You're not sitting there going, gee, is that my mind or is that the Holy Spirit? You're confident because you're manifesting that speaking in tongues. Well, that's one of all of the manifestations. How confident are we that we're hearing his voice when an instruction comes, when he says, don't turn that way, when he says, go and do this? Can we differentiate between his voice and our mind? It does activate the Holy Spirit. Remember I told you that some geek somewhere, probably in California, had brought in a bunch of people that spoke in tongues and ran and put brain scans on them, and lo and behold, found out that a whole new part of the brain lit up when they spoke in tongues. Well, I believe that's true of all the manifestations. You know, we can learn to quietly hear and know that is the voice of the Lord, and tap into that everywhere we go through all seasons of our life and let him direct everything we do. And we don't have to sit around. I don't have to go to Rods and go, Rods, do you think I should move to Collingwood or not? You know, I can go to God Almighty and say, give me word of knowledge. You know, I'm frustrated in this area of my life. I want to see more glory in this area of my life. What is my next step? And I can expect to hear a very clear answer. And it'll be truth, and it won't be a lie. And I will be able to abide in him through all seasons of my life with all the decisions that I make. And, you know, Patrick was talking about the book of Ephesians. And you take that verse right there back to the concept of walking in love, walking in light, walking circumspectly. If we're tapped in, we can walk circumspectly, which means we're not stepping in the dog poo of the world. We're able to track a path where we don't spend 10 years recovering from some stupid decision that we made that was out of alignment with God's word. You know, we're able to live gloriously without fear. Okay. Carrying on, Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest who can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, sin isn't just going out and getting drunk. Sin in its basic element is broken fellowship with God. It's you are not hearing him. You are not walking with him. So we can have sin in certain areas of our life and no sin in other areas of our life. That's the human condition. Our goal is, and you know, it's funny, you go and you watch the things of the world and the systems of the world, and you see that most Christians have no concept whatsoever about being able to walk in the Spirit. They won't even talk about it. They just don't know it. We can powerfully discern. We can come boldly before the throne of grace, and we can ask for help. Well, if you don't take the time to identify where you're not exactly glorious in your walk, you won't think you need to come boldly before the throne of grace. And your life 10 years from now probably look quite similar to as it does right now. Well, are we supposed to be being filled with the fullness of God? Are we sitting here as perfect, glorious, filled with the fullness of God, fully manifesting Christians? Or are there areas in our life that we could have improvement? Well, the first step is to admit that in this area of my life, you know what, I do have sin. I'm out of fellowship. Either I'm broke, I'm unhappy, I'm depressed, and whatever it might be, and again, it will be the full spectrum because we're all individuals. It could be pride. It could be fear. It could be a lot of things. But if we will allow ourselves the self-respect to identify where our weaknesses are and come before him and say, listen, I'm not glorious here. I want change. I want to see something better. We can come boldly and we can tap in to the quiet, still small voice without fear, and know that we'll be able to step into the next decade of our life cleaning up some stuff, changing, seeing more glory, because we know him. And again, you know, you look back. Yes, God's word is our complete rock and salvation. We are not called to write God's word. We're not called to get the children of Israel to accept the fact that there's a body of Christ now and the Gentiles are allowed in. That was someone else's ministry. The next great thing that's going to happen is the return. And we don't have a lot to do with that except to wait faithfully in these bodies and continue to manifest the Holy Spirit, because that is our administration and that is our calling. That's it. You know, and the Word of God is what we, you know, read it and we study it and we use it so that we can have a solid enough foundation so that we don't go off and do something, you know, totally whacked out like the Mormons have done, for example. No one's going to write another book. We don't need to worry about writing another book of the Bible. We don't need to worry about bringing any new light. This is our administration. We know what it is. What is our focus? Our focus is supposed to be, hey, first time in the history of the world since Adam that individuals can stand before God Almighty and have an intimate conversation without needing any other person to guide them. We can come boldly. We don't need any fear. We need the Word of God to keep us on alignment so that's all we're really focused on. We're not getting twisted off under the side roads of the myriad of stupid things that man's mind will come up with. So let's just go to 2 Corinthians. Kind of says it better than what I was saying. 2 Corinthians 4. And in verse No, that's not where I want to go. Hold it. 2 Corinthians 4. I have your 4 to 7. I'm trying to find. Oh, yes. Sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It is that whole earthen aspect of our lives, our weaknesses, that allows us an opportunity to look back on our lives and say, remember when I used to do that? Look how far I've come. I'm so much more glorious in my daily living these days because of the power of this treasure that I have, this Holy Spirit. That treasure that we have is that Holy Spirit. And so I just maintain, you know, that the world is still, so many people are still blinded. As the Hebrews were blinded and didn't see Christ, so also most of Christianity is blinded. And, you know, you see that. And again, it's the God of this world that's blinded those minds. But yet the Christians today have, in my mind, I'm sorry, they have no excuse. The Bible was written hundreds of years ago. We've had a printing press. They could figure it out if they wanted to. But instead, they just sit there in the basement, not knowing what's going on. You know, there's a group of them running around using the name of Jesus inappropriately. There's another group over here talking about this, talking about that, splintering off into different groups, completely focused on nothing to do with the manifestation of Holy Spirit. And to me, that's just a slap in the face to the whole ministry of Jesus Christ. Us on this call, a small number of human beings, if you think about it, we're actually called, had ears to hear, heard enough of the rightly divided word of God to get some new light that was shed for us to bring us to the point where we spoke in tongues and found out enough that we can be the ones to start to bring excellency of the power. We can turn and say, I could never have done that if I hadn't tapped in to the Holy Spirit and walked in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. That's exciting, I think. Romans 12. Another very familiar verse for us. She says, fumbling around in her Bible. Romans 12. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Now, that word conformed is, I can't pronounce it, but it's a schematizos or something. It's talking about the schemes of the world. Don't be conformed to or fall prey to the schemes of the world. But, and that word but happens to be a very strong, emphatic usage of the word but. But, in contrast, be you transformed, metamorphosed by the making new of your mind. And that word renewing is the word anakenosis. It's a new up. It's a continuous motion. It's a present tense word. It's a new quality of your mind. Present tense doesn't mean, yeah, you know, I got born again, I spoke in tongues, I took the Powerful Moment Learning class, I'm good. You know, no, you're not. You're just getting started. This is a present tense, everyday renewing up of our minds, bringing our minds up so that why we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our daily lives from the moment we wake up should be filled with manifestations of Holy Spirit moving forward perfectly, good, acceptable, perfect will of God until we lay our heads down at night. Because why? Because we're walking in the power that He gave us. So that is our reasonable service. And, you know, Paul is beseeching these people to please present their bodies and do that reasonable service. Let's look in Romans 8. Romans 8 while we're here, because and in verse 39, actually we'll just go up to 38, because, you know, we like to talk about this, oh, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved us, and that's true, we are. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And, you know, this goes, tags along with what Raj was teaching last week, you know. It's a battle. We're in one. Are we aware of it? And the word I want to focus on here is this word height. This word height is the word hupsoma. And, you know, he's going here, I'm persuaded, that neither death nor life nor angels and so forth, there's nothing there that talks about anything small or earthly. These are all spiritual things that God's talking about. And the word height caught my attention, and you'll see why in a minute. Hupsomo, height, what is that? Well, the same word is used, and you don't have to go to these. You can write them down if you want, or you can just look it up yourself. I'm going to go through them all, and I just want you to even close your eyes and just think about God Almighty and what this word speaks to us about the height that can't separate us. Luke 1:78, the day spring from on high, the same word. Same thing in Luke 24:49, power from on high. Ephesians 4:8, he ascended up on high and led captivity captive. Mark 5:7 and Luke 8:28, it's Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Luke 1:35, you know, Mary. We can look at that one if you want. It's like just absolutely beautiful. Let's go over to that, Luke. Luke 1:35. Look, Mary said in verse 34, well, how's this going to happen? I don't know a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's hupsoma, high. That's the high, that's this word. The power of the Holy Ghost will come upon you, the power of the Highest. Acts 7:48, the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands. Hebrews 7:1, priest of the Most High God. This is not talking about how high the steeple is on the church or how high any manly thing is. This word height is referring to spiritual height, a true representation of the vastness and the height of God Almighty. And there in Romans 8:39, we are told that nothing from that height, nothing from the spiritual realm, from on high, can separate us from the love of God. Let's look in Acts 16. And in Acts 16, verse 16, it came to pass, we went to prayer, and a certain possessed damsel comes out with her masters, who she brought them gain. And verse 17, the same followed Paul with us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shows unto us the way of salvation. In other words, the devil spirits can even make reference to these things that are most high. So it's not just a highness of God Almighty. It's a spiritual highness that the devil spirits even know about. They're aware of it, and we can be aware of it as well. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling that you're called with. And again, that word height in verse 18, that you, not all of us together as a unit, but you as an individual, unique person before God, are able to comprehend, everybody, all of us, what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You can comprehend what is the height of God, that high, high spiritual stuff that came upon Mary, those words from God Almighty. You can hear those words. You can understand his height. This goes along with things like peace that passes understanding. It's outside of the realm of what our individual thoughts might be able to cough up, the mind of man. But if we tap into the voice of God, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, we can comprehend and we can know the height. 2 Corinthians 10. This is the last verse. And starting in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, our weapons are not carnal, but mighty. Study that word, mighty, through God. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit of God that we have. These are our weapons, and they're mighty to pull down those strongholds, whatever's holding us back as individuals in any area of our life. Look at your life, your physical life, your financial life, your vacation life, your children, with your life with your children, your life with your job. Look at your life and say, what's holding me back? Let me tap into the mightiness of the Holy Spirit within me, and let me pull down some of these strongholds by casting down imaginations. Imaginations is thoughts or thinking. Casting down is only one use that I found, and it's a word that's like a cathario, and it means to take down. It's from a very high place, to force or pull something down and demolish it. So whatever, in whatever area of our lives, and I maintain through these chapters that we live, you know, we're kids, we're teenagers, we're getting a first job, we're young parents, or kids are moving out of the house, or we're retired. There's all these chapters that we write in our life, and I maintain that through every one of them, we can, if we tap in, find even more strongholds that we can pull down, that we can get closer and closer to being filled with that fullness of God. You know, which one of us is going to sit and say, okay, I'm done, I'm filled with the fullness of God, I'm good till Christ comes back? I mean, I don't think that's going to happen because of the schematics or the things that go on around us, the world zooms around us. The devil is actively working in this world until the return, until we hear that trumpet. As Grace said, we had our practice run this morning. But until we hear that trumpet, he is at work trying to steal the word of God out of your life. And not just the written word. The written word, he's trying to steal, make your life so busy that you never have a chance to even pause and say, God, give me some word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Here's a topic. I need to pull some strongholds down so that I can magnify you and glorify you. He'll make your life so darn busy. He'll throw so many, I call it the Hallmark life. So many people are caught in the Hallmark of, oh, it's Christmas, I close the month. You know, oh, it's Valentine's Day, I got to do this. Oh, it's Easter, I got to do this. Oh, it's so-and-so's birthday, I have five kids, I have to have five birthday parties. And, you know, the whole year will go by, and their whole life, all the actions that they've taken have been planned by Hallmark, the God of this world. Just filling your days with busyness. You know, you get in conversations, and somebody's talking about so much stuff, you don't even have time in your mind to slow things down and say, God, what's your will in this situation? Should I walk away or should I stay here? You know, we do have time. We can cast down, take them, grab them, pull them down, these imaginations, these thoughts, this way of thinking that's kept us caught in the schemes of this world. We can find them in our lives, recognize them, pull them down, and bring them into captivity, back to not just the obedience of Christ that we happen to know because we're good stewards and good students of God's written word, but to that word of knowledge that he is speaking to us. You can't go to the written word of God and find out what God says about, you know, list 50 things instantly, Bitcoin, the internet, TV, whatever. You can't. It's not written in here because no one could have understood it enough to really write it. God's word is to speak to us today. In all circumstances, he's right there. He's right beside us. He said it in manifestations. Tap into that Holy Spirit gift. Ask him for word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Become familiar with that part of your brain that is him, his still small voice speaking to you as an individual to help you today, me today, cast down even more strongholds and take one step forward to living more and more reflecting that glory that he's called us and given us his spirit to manifest. And I'm done. And thank you for your time today. It's always a privilege to hold forth God's word.